This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
All righty. Listen, it is week two. And guys, we made it. We made it to week two. Like, listen, I'm just grateful to be here because your boy is... here's a new experience. I never understood this until literally... There's so many things that I'm learning in this. But literally right when the sermon ends, right when it ends, there was like 15 minutes of like, wow, man, like that, okay, that was good. And then right after that 15 minutes, it was like, what you gonna say next week? Immediately, like right after I got, gave my wife a hug, gave Arlo a kiss, gave Luna a kiss, like, oh, my friends were like, you did so good. And then it was like, oh, yeah, but you got to do it again, though. That's the thing. Well, beautiful thing. God gave me the sermon, y'all, and we're going to do it again. Now, listen, some of you are just joining us, and if you are, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to week two of The Paradox of Purpose. Everybody say The Paradox of Purpose. Now, some of you, you're just joining us, and if so, I'm so glad, but I want to bring you up to speed kind of from last week. We're talking around this idea that purpose is a paradox. Everybody say the word paradox. Now, some of you, you're still like, you're like, what is this word paradox? Like, I heard you say it last week. And so I want to keep helping you. We posted some on Instagram. Some of y'all, we were like, comment your paradox. And some of you did not understand because you were just saying stuff that didn't make sense. Anyways, I'm going to give you a couple statements. These are just more paradoxes for you to just kind of grapple with. So to get a job, you have to have experience. But to get experience, you have to have a job. This is like a regular, like, okay, here's one I just recently learned, buying a house. To have good credit, you have to already have credit. And to get more credit, you got to get credit. It's like, it's a weird, like, you got to have good credit, but to have credit, you got to get debt. And to get debt, you got to have credit. It's like, what? I don't know how to, okay, here's another one. The deeper you go in the ocean, the more shallow it gets. You get it? See, I'm making you think today. The deeper you go, the more shallow it gets. See, you can't just sit here. You're going to have to participate with me today. Okay, here's another paradox. You ever met someone who's so smart? Like, they're so smart. They're kind of dumb. You ever met somebody that's so smart? You're like, you're so smart. You kind of dumb. Like, you can't talk. You're just kind of like a robot. It's very weird. Anyways, there are so many paradoxes throughout life and throughout Scripture. And we realized last week that God is a paradox. You've never thought it directly this way, but God is a paradox. And there are paradoxes all throughout Scripture, all throughout the Word of God. Think about this in James 4:10. You are exalted through humility. This is the paradox of the Christian walk. You are exalted, but you have to lower yourself. Scripture also says anyone who wants to gain his life must lose his life. I am stronger in weakness. These are all the paradoxes. Literally, it says to live, you have to die. This is the paradox that Jesus comes to present to us today, is it's not either or, it's the tension of both and. And last week, we started down this path of figuring out and asking the question, what is my purpose? Again, this question has plagued so many of you and so many of us. And what I love is literally there are hundreds of thousands of people that are getting helped and really moving forward and understanding what purpose is. Now, we had to make a delineation last week because many of us have purpose and potential confused. Potential is everything you could do. Your purpose are the things God has graced you to do. And there's a difference. Some of you, as you were young, as you were growing up, you really got caught up with your potential. And really, potential creates a lot of pressure for many people, and they feel like, okay, what should I go this way, or should I go this way, or what am I going to do, or how am I going to do this? And really, we realize that your purpose is not the same as your potential. It's not the same. Now, I want to help you see this because we have an amazing graphics team. Can you help me with this? I want to do an illustration on the LED wall real quick. I want to show you kind of what the paradox of purpose looks like visually. So this is you kind of in the world right here. Can you throw that up there for me? So this is you. This is the little circle. It's a beautiful little circle. It just moved. It's pretty cool. This is you. And you're kind of born into life with no clear direction. Like, no obvious, like, this is what you're supposed to do and this is how you're supposed to do it. There's no rule book for how to live through life. There's no rule book. We've learned this on how to raise your kids. There's no, this is 1, 2, 3 on how you do it. And you're kind of just placed in life, just empty, just open. And then as you get older, people start saying stuff. They say stuff like, you're so organized. They didn't say that about me. I want to be very clear. Nobody's ever said that. But this first kind of thing, it gives you a little bit of direction. Like, and so, and you kind of start forming your life out of this one thing people said. You're organized. So you think, oh, great. And you start living your life. I can't even, like, give you examples of being organized. I was literally, that's what I went to do, and I have none. Anyways, so you get a little bit of direction. And then somebody also says, yeah, but also, you're really funny. And so then you get something else in your life that's like, well, maybe, okay, I'm organized and I'm funny. And so now you start trying to live your life in the tension of both of these things. And then somebody says, oh, yeah, but the way you communicate is just so sharp. And you do that. And now you're thinking, okay, I'm organized. I'm funny. I could communicate well. And then somebody says, you know what? You should start a company. You just really like. And this is what you're going through life. People just telling you all the stuff you should do. And this is a picture of your potential. That's what they, some of y'all thought this was just a logo. It's a lot. This one is as deep as you think. This is your potential. This is where you live in life. This is the tension of this is me, but here's all the stuff I could do. And this doesn't go away. This is always in your life. There's always opportunity. There's always things you could be doing. There's people who come and approach you and say, for a little bit of money, we could have you working here. All you got to do is move away from that place God told you to stay at. There's somebody, oh, come on, some of y'all, this is what you look. Your dating life looks like. This over here, you got Ricky, then you got Jason, then you got Aiden, my little brother Aiden's here, Aiden, and then you got Chandler, my other little, and this is you, and you're like, yeah, but he's kind of funny, and then, oh, but he's really tall, and then, none of that matters when it comes to picking your spouse. This is some of y'all with business ideas. Some of y'all got so many businesses. Y'all got, look, I do a little tutorials on the side, and then I got a little baking company, and then for $5.99 a month, you can sign up and listen to me talk on Zoom, and then you can over here, I can. This is potential. This is, and here's the thing about it. I want to, part of this sermon series is demystifying, and this is why the tagline is, it's not as deep as you think, because we've made purpose and calling so much bigger than us. And when you make it bigger than you, you take the responsibility off of you. So it becomes this thing, it's like, oh, it's kind of out here, and I don't know if I'll ever reach it. But I want to just, and this isn't even really my sermon, this is just something to bring you up to speed. Here's the thing I've learned. This is going to mess with some of you. Purpose is a choice. We make it a lot bigger, like we make it out of our control, but purpose is a choice. I want you to look at this scripture. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sitting there, literally, he gets to a point where he is so overwhelmed by the pressure of what's going to happen. He's fully God, fully man. Again, Jesus is a paradox, completely perfect in his divinity, but completely imperfect in his humanity. And both of them are in this moment, and he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Do you think Jesus, there was no other way, or that he couldn't think of a way, or he couldn't have created a way for him to rescue humanity, that this was the only. Now, again, I'm not arguing with the law of the scripture and how it was set up to go. I'm just saying if Jesus wanted to, he could have done it a different way. There was there were options. He could have said, you know what? I don't really want to go to the cross. Boom, you're all saved. Like, I'll just snap my fingers. There we go. Like, so he had a lot of potential of what he could do. But look at the decision he makes. Yet, not my will. He offers up his will. He had a God, I don't want to do this. I do not want to do this, but I'm picking purpose. And this is the decision you have to make every single day. Will you see your potential but still choose purpose? It would be easier if God would just take away all the other opportunities and only outline, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. Marry this person, do this thing. That you want to be a robot for that. But no, Jesus says, I'm going to spread this thing open and I'll guide you if you'll listen. You will have all of the potential, but you have to choose purpose. In the garden, that's what Jesus did. He chose his purpose. And this is the decision you have to make. Every single day, I'm going to choose purpose. I'm going to choose the thing. And here's the thing, and I can't really get into it because it's like a sermon for a little bit later in the series. But do you know that purpose is really about, we think of the cross, and there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. When you think of cross and what people would have thought about when Jesus said that are not the same thing. You think of Jesus when you think of the cross. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. They would have thought of a ritual that happened every single weekend where they would torture people, and it was the slowest possible death that you could experience at the time by the Roman army. They would have thought of a gruesome dying. And this is what Jesus compared. He says, everybody want to sign up to follow me? Yeah, you know how you see people get tortured and their flesh dies? Following me is going to be a lot like that for your flesh. Your pride is going to have to die. Your plan is going to have to die. How you thought life would, all of that is going to have to die if you want to follow me. And here's the thing. I know you could pick a lot of other things. Instagram presents you with options. Your friend group presents you with options. You could choose paper. You could choose performance. Some of you choose your plan. Some of you choose your family pattern. Some of you choose a platform. Some of you choose, you can choose, some of you choose prominence. Some of you choose the paper. We talked about that earlier this year. There's a lot of things you could choose. But some of you, the thing you just need to write down in your notes is, I'm picking purpose. Because this will be an everyday decision for you. Will you wake up and say, today I'm going to choose my potential, or am I going to choose purpose? What will you choose? I want to take us further today in the paradox of purpose. I want us to move this conversation further because last week we kind of started, and again, we kind of ended at the culmination that purpose is not doing. Purpose is not doing. We've made purpose doing, but your purpose is to be with God. That is why you want to know your purpose. You're watching right now. You think, what is my purpose? Why was I born? You were born to be with God. That's why there's that hole in your heart that feels like money can't fill it and girls can't fill it and there's no success. That all of that is because you were created to be with God. Now, I want to read you a scripture that we read last week, and this will kind of get us into week two of our sermon series. This is the scripture we read it last week. I'm going to read it again. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, caveat, which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me, watch this, to fulfill his purpose. I can do all things that he's called me to do that fulfill his purpose. I want to hone in on one of these words today, and that word is calling. Everybody say calling.
Calling.
I'm going to pray for us real quick. God, we thank you, and we need you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so how many of you remember your first phone? If you're in the chat, in the room right now, raise your hand and put a little hand in the chat if you remember your first phone, your very first phone. I had a Sprint flip phone. I had a Sprint. I don't remember the name of it. I really wanted a Razor, but my mom and dad wouldn't buy me one. I don't know why. Mom and dad, I don't know why you didn't give me the Razor. I felt so embarrassed at school. Anyways, all my friends, some of y'all, my wife was the cool kid that had a Razor, and I was just like, God. But I wanted a Razor so bad. Anyways, but I had this little Sprint flip phone, and this is when, again, some of y'all ain't never had a flip phone, which is very sad, but they used to flip, and then sometimes they go, whoosh. Like, you ever had the sidekick? Any of y'all had a sidekick? It made that noise when you did it. But I remember my first phone, and I remember one time I came into the kitchen, and this was when you had to pay for all your text and all your talk time. Like, you had to pay for all of that. So I walk into the kitchen, and my mom is sitting at the kitchen table. Now, this is strange if you know my mom. Because it's really, really early. She's up. I'm coming in there to eat cereal, and I'm like, I'm leaving for the day. And she's sitting at the kitchen table, and I come around the corner into the kitchen. She goes, good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Mom. How are you?
And I see she has, like, a stack, like, this tall of printer paper. And I'm like, what's...
She said, you been texting a lot?
What you mean, what's a lot? I don't know. What is it?
She said, right here, I have printed all your text messages and calls over the last month. boy, when I tell you, that's what I did. It's what I saw. It's like when you lose your breath, you can't speak. That's what I just was like, okay. She's like, Charles, in the last month, you have sent 40,000 text messages, and you've been on the phone at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And I was like, well, that's what that paper says, but you don't actually know if that's me. Like, that could be somebody else. You don't even know if that's... I've been talking way too much on the phone. But long story short, I sent way too many text messages. And as I got older, I kind of stopped liking talking on the phone. Like, during that time, I would stay up late talking on the phone. I would talk to friends. If I was trying to talk to holler at a girl, you just leave the phone on and be like, oh, okay, yeah. And then you kind of fall asleep and you wake back up. Hey, what's up? You still there? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm still here. And be like, all right, bet. And then you go, some of y'all ain't never been in love like that before. But when you in fifth grade and you like, man, it's 4 a.m. What you doing? I'm just staring at the ceiling. What you doing? I'm just... Literally, just the phone just on, just running up minutes. Anyways, now I'm not the best at answering the phone. I don't really, like, some of y'all are crazy people. You're actually, like, you need to go to the doctor for this. There are people out there, did you know, Bree, there are people who answer the phone for numbers they don't have saved in their phone. You cannot be trusted. I just want to say that, like, if you out here just answering the phone, that's crazy. Anyways, I say all this to say I don't really like talking on the phone that much now. And some of you are like, Charles, you're rambling. It's going somewhere. Just track with me. I don't like talking on the phone now, but... And really, because of that, I have a lot of missed calls. I have a lot of missed calls and text, and I'm not going to tell you how many because it's kind of obnoxious. But I don't miss calls from, like, really important people. Like, I have my favorites list. Does anybody do their favorites list? Like, you have your favorites list? My favorites list is very serious to me. If you're on my favorites list, I will answer your call and your text whenever. And if you're wondering, if you're on my favorites list, the fact you're thinking about it probably means you're not. But if you are on, you would know. But I don't miss calls from people that are on my favorites list. Now, one time I did miss a call from Abby, and I didn't know it then, and I, like, missed the call, and I was like, oh, I'll just call her back. And then she texted me. She said, I need you to come home right now. And I was like, oh, okay. And I got home. She's like, we're having a second child. She told me that we were, and I was like, oh, I probably should have picked up the phone for that one. Now that was kind of important. Let me tell you one of the most important calls I've missed. I'm joking. We're having another baby, by the way, if you didn't know. Hallelujah. Flourishing marriage, I'm telling you. Anyways, Abby called. I knew she was supposed to be picking up some food. And she called me, and I thought, oh, I know she's supposed to be getting food soon, whatever. She's going to pick up some lunch for us to go do something. I'll just call her back. I missed the call. I call her back, and she's like, yeah, I already left. And I'm thinking, what do you mean you already left? You were supposed to order me food. She's like, yeah, I'm already. And I thought, I should have answered that call. That was important, because now she probably ordered me something that I don't really know if I like or if I want that, and that's going to be really bad. I say all that to say, it sucks when you miss a call. It, especially when you didn't know how important the call was, and you just thought, like, it'll still be there when I come back, like, I'll just go back and I'll just hit her back up and she'll, but when you called back, the opportunity was gone. And so then you're left to figure it out on your own because you were, the plan was set up for you to answer the call and then she was going to get me food and then I was coming. And so then when I missed the call, I had to adjust everything that I was going to do because now it threw off. And I didn't know where I was going to get food from, and then I had to change my schedule. And have you ever missed a call from God? Wow. Have you ever thought, I could just call him back, though? I can just, or maybe he wasn't on your caller ID. And you thought, if I would have known that it was God, I would have picked up the first time. There are a lot of people in the kingdom of God. I thought about calling this sermon missed calls, you know, because that's kind of the state of the kingdom right now. A lot of people, and your call list has just ran up. It's just, there's a lot of missed calls. And this has created a lot of pressure for a lot of us because we feel
this desire to, okay, I got to find my calling. And we talked about this last week a little bit, that there's a difference between your purpose and your calling. Your purpose is to be with God, but God reveals your purpose. Your purpose is being with God and becoming really the version of yourself that he always saw. But God reveals your purpose or who you are through your calling, through God's the designation he puts on your life and the current assignment he has you in. This is how God reveals. And many of us, we find ourselves in a place where we're trying to figure out, and really we use this language of finding our calling. Wow. We're trying to figure out, why am I here? What am I doing? And today, I want to be very practical today. I'm coming to you today. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. We're going to look at the life of an incredible man of God that was called. And today, I want to be very practical, and I just want to help you learn how to answer the call. That's the title of the sermon today. Today, you will leave knowing, how do I answer the call? How do I, when God calls, when I feel like God is calling me to do something. For those of you who don't know, you're not familiar with this word calling. This is a word that we use in faith or in church that it's a good word, but sometimes it gets twisted because it's what Christians use to describe what they're supposed to be doing. Sometimes motivated by God, other times motivated by their own kind of emotions and what they want to do, and they just say God called me to when really God didn't. We're going to walk through this today, but I want to talk to you today about calling. And I want to look at a portion of scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, and that's because the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. So it doesn't matter what I'm saying. If we read this book, God will speak to us. I want to read 1 Samuel starting in chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is what the word of God says. It says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Nope. I didn't call you. Eli replied, go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again, Samuel went up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called him a third time. Once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Yeah. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Now, this is such a powerful portion of scripture, and we're going to walk through this scripture today very systematically. I want to give you context to where we are in the Bible right now, because without the context, you can't really appreciate it. Samuel is a miracle. He's a miracle because you need to know his mother. His mother's name was Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She could not have children. She literally, scripture says, she poured her heart out to God. Many of you, you're in a space where you know what it is to God. If you could do anything for me, if there's any prayer you could answer, she is pouring her heart out to God. And she makes a promise. She says, God, if I have a child, I will dedicate him to you for your service his entire life. God does a miracle, opens up her when she has Samuel. And when he is old enough, she drops him off with the prophet Eli. She drops him off with Eli. Now, here's the thing. When we find Samuel in this scripture, Samuel is either 12 or 13 years old. So this is the first thing that I want to say about calling. Calling doesn't have an age. Some of you thought you had to be. Samuel is 12 or 13 at this point. He's literally laying in bed, and God says, Samuel. He wasn't a certain. See, here's the thing. Samuel was at a place where he was young in age, but he was still spiritually maturing. And there's a difference between maturity and your age. Some of you think because you're getting older, you're getting more mature. And that's not how it works. You can get older and not mature. In the same way, you can read your Bible more and not mature in God. If you're not maturing, if you're not growing, Samuel's at a part in a point where he can hear God, but he doesn't know how to listen yet. You know there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Here, like, I can hear a lot of things. You may be walking down the street and you hear a car driving by, you hear animals, you may hear a bird chirping, you may hear my son talk, but in a moment, if Arlo says something, I listen. I'm able to differentiate his voice immediately. Samuel is at a point in his walk with God where he's able to hear, but he can't tell who it is. And this is a lot of people. You hear something, but you just don't know who it is yet. And what happens is he hears the right thing, but he goes to the wrong place. He knows it's God. He knows that something's calling me. What is that? I heard something. And he gets up and he goes to Eli. Now, when he goes to Eli, this is why I love the Bible, because it's so much more powerful than it appears on the surface. So it says that one night, there's two specific words. One night, it says that Eli and Samuel were in the tabernacle. Night and tabernacle. I want to bring attention to these two words. Night in Scripture represents a place without God's presence. But the tabernacle is the place where God resides. Another paradox. He's in a place without God, with God. And this is what we live in as believers. It's night, but we're in the tabernacle. It's dark, it's a dark world, but we have the living God on the inside of us. You're in a space where you feel like you can't hear, but God says, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. This is the tension. And what I love about this scripture is it comes to bust up the myth that you have to find calling. Was Samuel looking for calling? What? Like, here's another question. Do you have to find calling? Because some of you feel like you got to find it. And you're anxious because you have to find your calling. And where is it? And I don't want to miss it. And is it over here? And do I have to do that? It's night. It's in a dark place. A place where it seems like God's presence wouldn't be. And literally, God's presence and his calling, Samuel doesn't have to find it. The calling finds him. Was Abraham looking for a calling? Was David in the field looking for a calling? I'm trying to help somebody today because you're under the pressure that I have to find my calling. Baby, you don't have to find your calling. Your calling will find you. If you will just rest and be patient and just wait, your calling, God's calling can find anybody. God's calling can find anybody. It found Daniel in the lion's den. It found Abraham. It found Gideon at the bottom of the wine press. God's calling can find anybody. And some of you feel like you've done too many bad things for God's calling to find you. God's calling will find you. Today, I want to help you today. I want to help you on how to answer the call. And it's going to be very straightforward. Today, I'm going to teach you how to answer. Can you put that up for me, the answer? It's going to kind of build out across. So here's the thing. The first thing, when you realize God is calling you, when you realize, okay, I'm getting a call from God, I want to be very practical today. When you get a normal call, let's say somebody's trying to call you. So you have your phone and somebody's trying to call you. There's two options that you have. Matter of fact, is God, are you calling me? I feel like God's calling me. Hold on one second. You see that? So this is what happens. When God calls you, you have two options. Now some of you are like, what's up with the ringing? Well, this is God trying to give you direction, but you still have to choose. So many of you think, this isn't just a good time. I'm okay. I don't take the call away. I don't want to answer the call. But the thing is, God's call keeps coming regardless of what you do. So again, you find yourself in it, and God's back calling, and he says, hey, it's me again. Just wanted to give you some, just wanted to guide you today. But you have a choice. Will you accept or decline the call? And this is many of us. You just think, what will it be weird? Is God going to call me to do something weird, though?
I don't know. I decline. I don't want to do anything weird. I don't want to, like, I don't want to post too much on my Instagram about God because it'll mess up my aesthetic. But God's calling keeps coming. And you have a moment where you decide to answer the call of God. The very first thing you got to do is you just have to hit accept. I'm telling you this. I hit accept. Just turn the sound off. accept. Bow. I probably shouldn't be hitting the LED wall. That's probably not good. The first thing, and not just accept, I want to say this. The first thing, if you're going to answer the call of God, is you have to accept freely. And I want to add this word in there because some of you, there's a level of work attached to your relationship with God that you have to do. You have to get yourself at a place before you can accept the call of God on your life. Some of you, the enemy has got you so wrapped up in your thoughts, so wrapped up in what you did, so wrapped up in a past life, so wrapped up in a current thought pattern that you think I have to stop doing all of these things before I can accept the call. The first step, if you want to answer, is you just have to accept it. And some of you today, this is all you need because you know God's been calling you. Some people, you don't have to convince it, like, you know God has been calling you. You know he's had a plan for your life. You know he's been trying to do something. You know it's on, but you just, the question, will you accept God's call? Will you accept it? Will you really, okay, there are some of you that God has called you to be different than all of your family patterns. Everything that has ever happened to you, you know it's supposed to change with you. But to do that, you're going to have some hard conversations. And you know that. But you just, you have to decide, will I just accept the call? Accept freely. If you're going to answer the call of God, the first thing you got to do is accept freely. Now, I want to move forward in our story because it says in this that it says suddenly he runs out and he realizes that God is talking to him. Samuel, he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And God starts to download and speak to Samuel so clearly. But before he realizes that it's God, he wasn't mature enough to realize who it was. And this is an important dynamic of calling that I want to approach today. The second portion, write this down. If you're going to answer the call, is you have to notify few. I want to help you today because there's a tension when you get calling. It's two decisions you make. One, I'm the only person that can hear this and nobody else heard it. Or I'm going to post it to my Instagram and prove that I'm called. It's either nobody heard it but me, or look at how called I am. We see this in scripture. Joseph, if he had an Instagram, he would have posted about his dream. Oh, y'all, let me tell you my dream. Listen, I was up here, and y'all were down there, and look at how called I am. This is you saying I'm doing what God called me to do, but really you're just trying to flex on everybody. And it's obvious. God's calling isn't a flex on everybody. I don't know where that came from, that there's some kind of notion that I am called by God and yep, nobody can do it and it don't matter who's gonna, like, this. I want to help you today. The calling of God, there's a decision that you have to make. And I wrote this down. You have to notify few. Samuel is at a place where he realizes, I don't know exactly what this is. The question is, are you humble enough when God calls you to invite other people into the process? Many of us feel like I'm the only person that I hear God for me and can't nobody else hear God for me. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak things to you specifically. The scripture just says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So Eli goes to a place where he says, I'm going to go to someone who's a little bit more mature than I am, and they're going to help me navigate this. You have to know, you have to have people in your life. If you're going to answer the call of God in your life, you have to have people in your life that when you feel like God is calling me to do something, he's calling me to go to this school, he's calling me to start a business, he's calling me to marry this person, he's calling me to give, like, you can go to them and say, hey, this is what I feel like God is saying to me. But you're someone I trust that is rooted in God. Would you take some time to pray this through with me? Wow.
Would you take, now this is stuff we don't like because a couple things. One, it takes time. And some of us just want to bet, I'm called, let's do it. But this is a moment, and here's the thing. Many of us, we feel like we can get out of the call of God so easily that we don't take it seriously on the front end. So you just think, well, if I don't like it, I'll do something else. That's not how his call works. You don't just decide, I'm done with this and I don't want to do it anymore. When you say, no, this God, you're calling me to do this, you have to take it seriously. I wrote this down. I said, notify a few. And when I say few, these are friends who evaluate the word. Friends who can evaluate. You need to be able to sit down with people. And I know this is tight and it's kind of like, where's the preachy part? I'm not trying to preach it. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you navigate very practically when God tells you to do something. Do you have people you can go to and say, I think this is God? Some of the most powerful words you get, I think I heard God. The older I get, I think this, it fits. And here's the beautiful thing. Wisdom is proven right by its results. So as you go through this process, you can realize, okay, if this is God, you don't have to prove it. If it is God, you don't have to let everybody know. If it is God, you don't have to say, look how what he does. But you have to have people in your life that you can go to. Hey, I'm feeling like God's calling me to step out of this season into another one. But what do you think about it? This is the place that God has taken so many believers out, is you get isolated in your decisions. This is where the enemy took Eve out in the garden. Isolated. That's his plan, to get you moving without other people's insight and wisdom. And not to say that every time they're going to change, that's not God. But maybe they can bring other factors into it. Okay, if it is God, what are you going to do to make sure your transition to this next season, you close up this season well? There's wisdom. Okay, God's calling you to transition out of that job. Don't post about your boss. End that season so well. Have that company flourishing better than ever before. Then you leave. This is wisdom you can get when you're trying to answer the call of God. You got to have people that you can notify and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling, but let's pray through this thing. This is how we're going to answer the call. We're going to keep moving through this. Here's a powerful portion of the scripture. Again, we're walking through Samuel's life. I want to read verse 17, and then I'll give you the context after. It says, he wakes up, and this is Eli talking. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything back from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. Do you know what the message was God told Samuel? That he was going to strike down Eli and his entire family. That this would be the end of Eli's position as judge for Israel. But it literally says, Samuel told Eli everything, and he didn't hold anything back. If you're going to answer the call, you have to submit fully. You have to be at a place where you can say, I've accepted it, I heard what God said, I talked it through with my trusted community, this is the decision I'm making. You have to do, am I going to submit fully? Not as long as it's comfortable. Not as long as it makes other people comfortable. Because some of you are living, you're so caught up with people pleasing that you can't move for God by yourself. Do they agree? He had to make a decision. I am fully submitted to what God has called me to do. If you're going to answer their call, you have to make a decision. God, I'm submitting fully. Regardless of how it makes other people feel, regardless of how it may force me to grow, regardless of where I may have to transition, regardless that it may be uncomfortable, but I am submitting fully to your call on my life. Spoiler alert, your calling was not built to make you comfortable. So we have to, this is a thing where we think that the calling of God is built for your everyday life and it's supposed to just line up exactly with how your life is supposed to go. And we say things like that. If it was God, it'd be easy. Would it be though? Some of you, would it be like you take ease as that's God, but you say, I felt peace. There's a difference, and I gotta help you. There's a difference between the peace of God and your life being easy. And some of you think easy and peace mean the same thing. You can be going through the hardest situation of your life and still have peace. You can be walking through difficult situations and still know God called me to. Let me be practical. The marriage can be hard, but you can say, I have peace because God told me that what he has brought together, let no man separate. I am telling you, you have to make a decision to submit fully. Submit fully. Take it seriously, the call of God on your life. If you're going to make a decision to move, if you're going to make a decision to break up with that person, here's another thing Christians do. We break up with people and blame it on God. You know, I just felt like God didn't. You just thought they looked weird. Don't blame that on God. They had stinky breath, and you just didn't like them. I don't know who that was for, but you have to submit fully. I am fully submitted to what God's called me to do. You have to make a decision. Okay, I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to notify people. I'm going to submit. Here's the next one. And this is where it gets really, really fun. I'm joking. You have to work faithfully. Can I tell you, being called is work. This is the part, like, again, you feel like it was all about you being comfortable. Look, do you know Samuel's entire time as judge over Israel, they were at war the entire time. His entire calling was navigating a war. The Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant, and it's in another city, and then the city's going through stuff, and then they try to send it back, and then he's trying to elect a king. The people are like, your sons are wild. We don't like your sons, and so we want you to elect a... It was work. Your calling is gonna take work. But here's the thing. Nobody told me, because here's what happens. You have natural talents and giftings, and then God calls you to use those, and then you think they're fine how they are. This is the work believers don't want to put in. We don't want to get better at anything. You just think, God gifted me with this. Yeah, but you've been the same good at it at 10 as you are at 45. You haven't gotten any better. Why does Scripture say Jesus kept growing in wisdom and in stature? Why would Jesus have to keep growing? He was setting a picture that regardless of what your calling is, you have an opportunity to progress. Sometimes being called takes work. It takes realizing, hey, God called. And that's the thing. Just because it takes work doesn't mean God didn't call you to it. Marriage takes work. Newlyweds, if it's hard, if you're arguing, you're going the right way. It takes work. I'm just saying this because this is stuff that be taking people out. It's like I got into this and then people thought they started talking about me. Well, duh. It's work. It's not like, and I'm saying this because I'm trying to help people who are so caught up with the American dream of comfort and your Instagram blows up and then everybody knows. Some of you, Abraham waited 25 years. It may be a little bit before you're at the full place of where God's called you to be. And in the meantime, work. That is somebody, your prophetic word every morning, work. But here's the thing you have to understand is what you're doing in this season. Something we say all the time to the creative team here at TC is the work is the worship. Many of us think the thing we present is the worship. We have people all across our teams and volunteers that they'll create whole videos that you've never seen. The worship wasn't it getting posted. The worship was the work. The great moment isn't at the moment where you say, okay, like we made it 50 years and that's the moment of your marriage. The worship was the work of going to counseling. The thing that was great wasn't, oh man, that's the best business owner we've ever seen. No. It was that you were mature enough to realize that 8-year-old boy is still somewhere in here, and so I have to go deal with it. It's work. And these are the things I'm telling you, if you're going to answer the call of God, if you're going to answer his specific assignment, the specific thing in the season, this is what I've called you to do. You have to be willing to work. Willing to stay faithful. Willing to say, you know what, I'm going to keep showing up. one of the most powerful things, Bishop Gary McIntosh, our founding pastor, one of the things he said, I was like, Bishop, how did you, you know, through the years of leading this church, how did you make it? He said, Charles, sometimes I just kept showing up. How beautiful would that be for you to realize if I just keep showing up? Some of you, it's not, you don't need more talent. You don't need another word. You just need to keep showing up. Regardless of how hard it gets, regardless of what you're going, just keep showing up. But I want to progress in this. He's working faithfully. And then I want you to look at these scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 8. God calls Samuel to do something. And I want to look at these two scriptures because this will mess with you if you're not mature in your faith. But I'm going to help you today. It says this, Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. The people come to Samuel and say, hey, we want a king. Samuel's like, you don't need a king. You got me. And they're like, no, we need a king. Samuel was displeased with their requests. He went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied. They're rejecting me, not you. That's powerful. They are rejecting not you. It's me. Ooh, I can't even preach that. I'm sorry. They don't want me to be their king. Ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed their gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask. So God tells him, hey, they want a king? Give them a king. That's what they want? Go ahead and do it. Fast forward to Samuel 15. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my commands. The beginning of chapter 16, this is what it says. The Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. If you are going to answer the call of God, you will have to make a decision that you're going to endure failure. I mean, think about it. He comes to God. God, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to do it. God says, do it. Then the very thing God told him to do ends up in a failure, and God saying, I'm sorry I ever did that. This is the place where many believers and myself start to question, did God call me? When we are presented with failure, when there is a loss, when it's the tension between how we thought life was going to go and how it's really going, when I invested everything into this and it didn't go the right way, when I tried to raise my kids the right way and they're far from God, when I stepped out in faith and I said, okay, God, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to start the business, and then COVID happens. When you say, God, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, and then it fails, God, I didn't want to do this in the first place. And that's the place many of you are at. When it comes to answering your call, you're at a point where you are experiencing pain, you're experiencing hurt, you're experiencing failure, and the tension is the enemy is trying to convince you that because you failed, God didn't call you. I've seen so many incredible people taken out because they thought the failure meant God didn't call them. God's call is not dependent on you. It's not dependent on your faith. In this moment, Samuel is having to navigate one of his first and greatest failures in front of the children of Israel. I didn't want to give him a king. I gave him a king. Now the king that was supposed to fix everything, be the ruler, and his family be the ruler over everything forever, has failed. And God comes to him and says, you have mourned long enough. Now, when I read this scripture, I really related to it because, I share the story all the time, but me and my wife, God asked us to step out a couple years ago and start a church called Eden, and long story short, the same time, he comes back around about a year later and says, hey, I want you to shut it down and go serve at TC. I never questioned the call of God more than in that season. Because God, I thought you told me to leave where I was. You asked me to step out and do this. And there were so many people saying we wouldn't do it and couldn't and blah, 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 all these different things. And now you're shutting it all down? Did you not call me? And the beautiful thing is God says, I called you then and I'm calling you now. And the reason, here's the reason you have to endure failure. This is one of the most powerful portions of the scripture, and I literally didn't even see it until earlier this morning when I was studying. The next he says, you've mourned long enough. I have rejected him as king. So fill your flask with oil and go to Bethlehem. I was reading the scripture, and the Holy Spirit said, Charles, the reason you have to endure is because you have to pour again. You have to pour again. Samuel was the one who anointed Saul. Something they would do is he would fill a flask with oil and he would walk up to God's chosen and he would pour this oil out. It represented God's favor, his anointing, his plan. This was God's prayer. This was him to say, this is how I want it to go. This is what. But if Samuel isn't able to move past the failure of Saul, he never pours on David. The reason God is saying, I know you messed up. I know it's difficult, but you have to pour again. There are more people. There are more. I know it didn't go exactly how you thought it would with that business, but I've got more oil for you if you would just pour again. You see, the thing I've learned is the enemy, he actually knows the power of your pour. He knew the power of Samuel's pour because his mother, Hannah, poured her heart out to God. And the last time someone in Samuel's family poured, Samuel was born. So the enemy knew, if I can just get them stuck in this failure, if he gets you to stop pouring, he doesn't have to worry about your purpose. If he can get you to stop giving out, and that's what's happened. So many of you, you're at a place where you've started hoarding. Last time I answered the call, I got hurt. Last time I did what God told me to do, people talked about me. Last time I did what God told me to do, I went bankrupt. Last time I did what God told me to do, I got a divorce. Last time I did what God told me to do, and the enemy has made you feel like, yeah, you don't need to pour again. There's no point. Why would you go back and do it again? Why would you step out? Why? And this is the place where we find ourselves questioning the call. Should I pour again? Should I try to step out in faith again? Should I try to obey even though it's uncomfortable? Should I try to have that hard conversation? I came to encourage you. Regardless of where you may be right now, pour again. There are people, there are children, there are business owners, there are leaders, there are other students, there are other moms, there are other fathers, there are people that will not be able to walk in what God's called them to walk into until you pour. And that's why God says, hey, Samuel, you've mourned long enough over Saul. I need you to pour again. Some of you, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know where you are in this season of calling. But my encouragement would be, fill your flask and pour again. But some of you, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Your marriage has been so difficult and you've contemplated, should I just get a divorce? I mean, really, like you would have an excuse. Yeah, everybody would kind of make sense. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it didn't really seem like it was good. But you can make a decision. I'm going to fill my flask. And tomorrow, one of the most powerful things you could do, woman of God, is pour on that man. One of the most powerful things you could do is pour on that child who has not listened to one thing you said. One of the most powerful things you could do, teacher, is pour on those students. One of the most powerful things you could do is pour on that relationship that isn't working. One of the most powerful things you could do is pour on that father that hurt you and now you're having to take care of him at their elderly age. Pour again. When it comes to answering the call, the enemy, he has for so long got believers to say, you know what? There's no point. You shouldn't do it again. But I'm believing today by the power of the Holy Spirit that some of you, God's going to give you the strength to pour again. As we close out, there's one more letter left. And if you're going to answer the call, you got to accept freely. You got to notify few, submit fully, work faithfully, endure failure. And the last one is return frequently. Return frequently. We look at the life of Jesus, and something Jesus always did. It says Jesus often withdrew. You look through the first chapter, the first two and third chapter of Samuel. It says, meanwhile, Samuel continued to grow in the presence of God. One of the things when you're called by God is you got to return to his presence frequently. You have to have the opportunity to go back and say, okay, God, it's difficult in this season, but let me go back to you and get my strength. God, I don't have wisdom for this decision. Let me go back to you, though. God, I don't know which direction to go. My closet, it seems like it's getting a little blurry. It seems like it's getting a little confusing, but let me go back to you. This is the moment where you have to recognize where your strength comes from. Your strength to answer the call is not within yourself. It's not your own willpower, your own ability to just muscle your way through it. If you are called by God, and all of you are called, there is a specific assignment God has for you. It might be to start the business. It might be to raise those children. It might be to stay faithful in the marriage. It might be to step out into the entertainment industry. It may, whatever the call is, you have to make a decision. I'm going to return frequently. I'm going to return to God's presence to get my strength. I'm going to return to God's presence to get wisdom. One of the most beautiful things that I've learned from our pastor, every year he takes a sabbatical. And it's him saying, regardless of how good things may be going, I got to return to get a word from God. Some of us, we get so confident in our calling. Some of you, you've been doing it for so long. You've been in your marriage for so long. You've been in ministry for so long, but you haven't returned. You have to have the ability to say, you know what? I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but God, if you want to change anything, if there's anything in my heart you want to change, if there's anything in my mind you want to change, if there's anything in my attitude you want to change, if you want to adjust it, if you want to ask me, hey, God, is this the season to lay? Some of you, you need to go back to the presence of God because he's starting to move. When the children of Israel followed God, it said the cloud would move. And it wasn't a designated amount of time. It wasn't, okay, you spend 5 years here, then the next five, then the next five. No, sometimes it said it would stay over just overnight. The reason you have to return to his presence is so that you don't miss the cloud. Yeah. It's so that at the drop of the hat, wait, God, are you calling me to step out over here? Are you calling me to serve in this way? And here's the thing, a calling, sometimes it isn't these grand things like you have to move states. Sometimes God has called you to apologize. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to have friends who are accountable? Hey, God really convicted me. I need to apologize to Abby for how I talked to her, but this one big argument we got into. So I'm going to, God, I'm going to fully submit. I'm not going to be like, well, I'm sorry for that. Some, you know, you do them petty apologies. If you're married, you're like, I'm sorry that what I said, you feel that from how I said what I said. That's sorry you felt that. What? You got to work faithfully. Endure failure, return frequently. Today, there's so many people that have had the question of, am I called? If I am called, what do I do with it? How do I navigate it? Today, you can answer the call. You don't have to do anything to qualify for the call. You don't have to change anything about your personality. It will change you. But the first step You just got to hit accept. And there are two groups of people watching right now that I want to pray over as we close. There is the first group that, man, God's been calling you for a while. Maybe you've answered the call. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're at a different point in this progression. Some of you are at the working point and you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling like, man, I've been faithful for year after year after year after year. Some of you, you're at a point where you're trying to decide, am I going to submit? Am I going to submit to this call? Am I really going to trust it? Some of you, you're in a failure and you're trying to navigate. Am I going to really come back from this? Can I come back from this? Some of you, you don't have trusted people. You feel like, I don't know who I can talk to about this call. I don't know who. And here's the thing. God brings the right people at the right time. He always brings the right people at the right time. Regardless of where you are, if you're in that first group saying, I'm trying to answer the call, or I am in the middle of it. I just want to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, you see your children. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you see no matter where they are in this process, they're at a point where you're calling them and they're trying to decide if they're going to accept the call. Maybe they're at a point where they're trying to discern, what did God really say? And it was that him, or was that just me? Was that my own motive, or was that God? Maybe they're at a point where they're trying to submit or work. Or maybe they're in the middle of a failure. Wherever they are, Lord God, this is a moment where we're returning to you. You're the one who spoke the word. You're the one who called us. Lord, I affirm every calling in this room. I thank you, Lord Jesus. There are people that, Lord, you have put your hand on. You have given them a clear instruction. I speak against the lie of the enemy that is trying to speak to someone and that's saying he's not talking about you. I am talking about you are called. There is a plan. There is an assignment. There is an anointing. There is a power shut up in your bones that is an answer to the problems in this world. And until you answer the call, the solution cannot happen but in a moment. Lord, I pray over every person right now who the enemy has got them to stop pouring. They've stopped pouring on the relationship. They've stopped pouring in their business. They've stopped pouring into their work. Lord, give them the strength to pour again. Every head still bowed and every eye still closed. There are some of you right now that you're watching this and maybe you're like Samuel. You hear something. You're just not sure who it is. If you're honest with yourself, you've navigated your life and you've always felt like there was something more, maybe. You've always felt like there was someone that that was maybe looking after you, or there was something that was guiding you. Can I tell you that someone is God and he loves you? He is madly in love with you. And the first call, the first thing he wants you to answer, the first thing he wants you to say yes to is the call to be in relationship with him. Scripture is very clear. It says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're saying, you know what, that's me, Charles. I want to accept Jesus into my life. I'm tired of doing it by myself. Tired of doing it alone. I want to accept God in. I want to surrender to him. I want to submit fully to his plan. I want to do whatever he calls me to do. In just a moment, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to stop doing all these things. In one moment, if you just surrender, if you just acknowledge him, in a moment, the God of the universe will enter into your heart and he will begin a process of transformation. You will realize the person you have truly always been. In just a moment, if that's you, no matter where you are, no matter who's around you, I want you to repeat this prayer loud after me. Bow your head. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, thank you for laying down your life to save mine. I admit I've made mistakes. Save me. Change me. Transform me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Transformation Church, we just had so many people make an amazing decision. Hey, listen, if you just made that decision, I'm so proud of you. So is your God. He's so proud of you. He loves you so much. And as a church family, we would love to be people just to come alongside of you and support you, just to come alongside of you, encourage you, no matter where you may be in answering the call of God for your life. We just want to be a resource to you and your journey with Jesus. If you text the word SAVE to the number that's on the screen, our team would love to connect with you, send you some resources, send you some things to help guide you on this journey. And we're so grateful that you're here today. And no doubt, wherever you are, I need you to know that the presence of God is right there. As you navigate this next week, these next coming months, you may be watching this 5 years from when this sermon was preached. You need to know that God does have a calling for your life. And I'm believing today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can answer the call. Listen, as a church, we love you. We are for you. We read a scripture earlier today that talked about that there are more that are for us than there are those that are for them. Know that God is for you. He is with you, and he's a plan and a purpose for your life. Listen, we love you so much. We're so grateful for you. Go out and live a transformed life. We'll see you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.